Hey, you listening to the show? Guess what? This show is the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors meets the National Association of Lighting Management Companies. That's right. Randy Bresky checked into the NAIL convention. Thanks for coming, Randy. And we recorded a podcast with him. And it's interesting because NAIL and NAMCO are very, very similar organizations. They're just based in different kinds of members, Greg.
That's right. Different kind, but a lot of overlap too. We do a lot of the same things in terms of upgrading lighting. So it was a good discussion we had with them.
Sure was. So thank you, Randy, for coming on the show. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Keystone Technologies. Go to KEYSTONETECH.com. Greg, I know you go there every day.
Not quite every day, but often enough. Today we're going to look at, you know, we call them the retrofit kings, and a lot of product that they have is to retrofit a fixture, but they also have new fixtures. And one of them that I think they named because of us, the round high bay fixture, is a nice product if you need a round one. They wrote on their webpage, sometimes called UFO high bay fixtures. So we just told them not to call it that, which is good. They actually call it round. It has 13,000 to 26,000 lumen options and L70 of greater than 100,000 hours, IP65 rated. And the best thing about a Keystone fixture is they have a Keystone driver. I can find that thing when I need it down the road. I'm not going to have to look up some oddball that I can't find and get. It's a Keystone driver, and I know where I can get it 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, whatever it's going to be. Go to Keystone.
As crazy as that sounds, only NAIL distributors would know that that's so important, right? Like distributors... Yeah. Like NAIL distributors, or not NAIL, but distributors would know, gosh, you know what? Isn't it good to know that, hey, it's a Keystone fixture, it's a Keystone driver? And that's such
people that are in it for the long haul.
Yeah, it's such a competitive advantage for Keystone. I don't think they're advertising that enough, actually. So, Joshy, you heard it right here first. You got to be advertising that it's your driver in that ballast and that you have it in stock and whatever. The problem with it is like, it's kind of like telling the customer that, hey, guess what? LEDs burn out. And people are still reticent to say that in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, but it's better just to like let it loose. Now it's time. The, you know, whatever the irrational exuberance has come to an end. And it's time to be realistic. And of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, which we talked to Randy about on the show because we're two associations. I wouldn't say competitors. We're colleagues, let's say. Colleague associations. And so check out NAILD.org. But for right now, Randy Bresky, Get a Grip on Lighting.
Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Randy.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So say hi to Greg Eric.
Greg, yes. Pleasure to see you again.
You too. Thanks for saying hi. Appreciate that.
So we're at the convention of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. You're here as an ambassador from the National Association of Lighting Management Companies.
Correct.
And it's interesting how distribution and lighting contracting are kind of smashing into one another in the last 10 years with the LED boom. How has your association dealt with the constant, continuous, and massive change in this business over the last 10 years?
Well, you know, it is a constantly moving target, but you know, when you're talking specifically about the relationship between distribution and the contractor, you know, as we had talked yesterday and earlier today, you know, the contractor always tried to go in and buy direct, which we know is a big rub for distribution. But what I've seen as the biggest change is companies like you NAIL members, who are the you know, the innovative distribution link, that have a value add. They have something for the contractor that a lot of the real big distributors were lacking. You bought through distribution because you had to. But if you were able to work with, you know, maybe a tier two or tier three manufacturers, still a good product, but they worked through a distributor who had some value add, you'd gravitate to that. Or you would try to negotiate directly with the manufacturer and do a direct purchase, because in-house, especially the NAMCO companies, who are really well-rounded and very well-educated and trained on product, are not just normal electrical contractors who buy what's on the spec and install it. They actually specify the fixtures, they do the design, they do the layout, they work directly with the manufacturers for those aspects of the projects. When we find a distributor that has got something to add, that brings some great value, that helps us as we try to help that end user, you know, we've moved our buys more to distribution than direct purchase.
And that's what I was going to ask is, do you know what percentage of the NAMCO members right now are tied directly to a manufacturer versus working through distribution?
You know, I can speak, and I've retired from actively contracting for about almost 2 years now, but I can tell you that in my career, that percentage of buying through distribution has significantly increased over the last 8 to 10 years.
Interesting.
Yeah, because of that transition of a value-added distributor. And those are conversations I had with the distributors that I worked with, or even the ones that I had to buy from, because you just couldn't buy direct, even if you wanted to. I would have that argument. What do you bring me other than
a markup?
Yeah.
How do you guys, so one of the things I've noticed is that the companies that have a longer history, so a pre-LED history in the lighting business, tend to look at the traditional channel as something that adds value, right?
Correct.
So you're a contractor, you have a distributor, you have, they're taking care of things outside of just supplying you stuff, and the distributor is representing a bunch of manufacturers and making recommendations to the contractor. I find that newer entrants into the game tend to cut out both the distributor and the manufacturer. You see a lot of people going directly to China and bringing in their own product, and then turning around and installing it as well.
Right.
Have you seen much of this in NAMCO, and how do you guys handle them? Do you bring them in as members? Do you keep them out?
You know, it's hard to keep somebody out, but they tend to vet themselves.
Okay.
Because as the NAMCO membership, being as educated as they are and being as informed on the aspects of the technology and even the development of the solid state technology and, proper manufacturing fixture and proper warranty supports and all those types of things, they don't gravitate to those tier four manufacturers, the offshore ones that are, you know, kind of bending tin and throwing some diodes in a driver and then calling it a fixture. We put our name on everything that we sell, so we have to put in something
as a contractor.
As a contractor, right. That if we put in XYZ manufacturer product, well, if something fails on that, if there's a catastrophic
fixture,
issue.
Randy, it's not XYZ's fixture.
That's right.
Yes, I totally understand.
They're going to call me. Yes. Now, I have to have a valued partner in my distribution chain that is going to back me on that, or who's going to help me on the front end by maybe staging product and hold for releases because the facility I'm doing the work in doesn't have room to store 10 skids of fixtures or something. So, a lot of those small companies, the real small startups, the ones who may not be as developed or may not have as good a product offering, or maybe, kind of a, as we call them in our industry, when you're talking about the contractors who we do battle with, the trunk slammers who are just there, low end, they don't have that value add. Well, why would we go to them? Well, what do they have to offer us?
I mean, as an association, as a membership.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like one of those things, keep your friends close and your enemies closer in a sense. You kind of bring them in. We had this debate in Nail where it's like, we used to have all sorts of parameters, like your warehouse had to be this big, you had to keep this much in stock and But what it did was a lot of the guys that became, were founding members of Nail and really learned through Nail were trunk slammers in when they started off.
Yeah.
Like you have to start somewhere, right?
So you do.
You kind of, do you bring them in or do you keep them out? It's a tough question, actually.
And that's one thing that we battled with. And that battle goes back to, the advent of electronic linear fluorescent ballasts because there was so many ballast manufacturers. And we had, the big name ballast manufacturers would come up to us and say, well, why are you letting all these other ballast manufacturers in? Well, we don't know. I mean, 2 years from now, that may, they may be the player in the industry.
Sure. A
lot of that has happened. And a lot of it's happened now. And, as we talked earlier today, with some of the LED manufacturers,
A big conversation right over there next door.
Yeah. A lot of them that were the the tier two manufacturer they kind of had a niche market. Well, now aren't the niche market. They are the market.
Sure.
Yeah. And so that's why we would not eliminate them. But, like I said, they kind of vet themselves. Hmm. And, the cream rises to the top.
Sure.
And what you can support and what you can deliver, the actions are what delivers it. It's not just the talk. Guy can say, well, here's my LED fixture or my LED retrofit kit. I've got a 10-year warranty and I've got a 20-year warranty. They've been in business for a year. well, what, you know, what worth does your warranty have?
Yeah, I mean, you say it lasts 100,000 hours. Well, I've been in business for 350,000 hours, Randy.
Yeah. Well, and as one of the conversations
like, that's legitimate. That's
absolutely. Yeah. As one of their conversations were earlier today when they're talking about pluses and minuses and benefits and what's not told and what are the hidden secrets. You know, originally people, you talk to an end user and they say, well, LEDs last forever and they use no energy. Well, we all know that's not true.
Sure.
Yeah, is that LED dial going to last 100,000 hours? Yeah. Absolutely. It's
going to. Are you guys having this debate at Nalco, the warranty debate right now? And
it's always an ongoing, you know, because we want to deliver something, because we not only do the installations, the design, sure, and the specification and the installations, but we do the maintenance. We do the upgrade. And sometimes we do the maintenance on systems that other people put in.
Sure.
So we have to be educated so we can go and talk to that end user customer and say, these are some pitfalls that you may encounter along the way. And yeah, they said this is going to last 100,000 hours, but that driver's not going to last 100,000 hours. You know, there's
warranty is a serious issue.
Yeah.
How do you guys handle that from a labor standpoint? Because that's basically what you guys do. And that's the biggest issue is, sure, we get the product free, but now I got to go put the thing in.
Yeah. And it's,
pay for that.
You know, it's a time material call.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get warranty support on labor from anybody. You used to many years ago. I mean, I can
10
remember
bucks a ballast or something.
If
like that.
You're lucky,
yeah.
If you're lucky. Yeah. And we used to
get there was a catastrophic failure that was so obvious. You get 10 bucks.
Well, I mean, I can, in my career back, I started doing this in 1988. When electronic ballast was coming out, I think there was some facilities I retrofitted 3 times.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Just
sure.
You know, because components were feeling like crazy on the newer electronic ballast.
I know T5HO was the same way.
Yeah.
High voltage 347 volt T5HO back in 2005 or whatever, I had a ballast manufacturer. Literally, the ballasts were starting on fire.
Yeah.
Like there was like smoke coming out of the fixture and everything, right? And the ballast manufacturer says, no, you overvolted them.
Sure.
No, they weren't overvolted.
Right. That's what warranties has always been about, pointing fingers.
Yeah.
And nobody takes ownership. You, me.
Well, and from our standpoint, you know, the NAMCO members, the contractors who do this stuff, because of the relation, a lot of these things, and I can speak personally, a lot of the retrofits I had are the larger ones, mm-hmm, are customers who are following the trends of technology. They're a progressive company. Mm-hmm. They're always looking to do things better, to save some energy, to cut their operating costs, cut their maintenance costs. And they will follow those trends in technology. They started with, you know, probe start metal halide fixtures. Then they went to pulse start metal halide. Well, then they went to linear high bay fluorescence. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to LED. So, you know, so you've got to deliver to them a good product, and that product isn't just the fixture, the luminaire. It's the product is us. Product is, yes, that luminaire we're putting in, the control systems we're integrating with it.
Sure.
But the people are doing the installation. The people are handling the waste and the recycling, the distribution end of it. How is that product coming to their facility? Are we able to stage stuff there? Do we have to bring stuff from dropship occasionally? All those things are an impact to that end user customer. And that's where the partnership between the distributor and the contractor and the manufacturer all have to play together. Mm-hmm. It has to be seamless because the customer wants to see one point of contact. They want a turnkey project. That turnkey means they call just Randy Bresky if they've got a problem.
Sure.
And then you'll be the first one they call if they have a problem.
Yep.
I mean, maybe we won't hear from them if everything goes good, but you know, you don't want that call saying, this truck came and they're trying to drop off 10 skids of fixtures. Well, we didn't talk about that. Where are these going to go?
Now, with both Mike and I being distributors, we should know, and hopefully we know the answer to it. But hearing it from you, what are the value-added benefits that a distributor can bring a contractor?
Well, a variety of product.
Yep.
I think we all know what we can honestly say, that there's not a one-size-fits-all in any project.
Yep.
And it may not. It may not be the same technology. It may not be the same manufacturer. You know, some places you may have, you know, I may have new fixtures going in and retrofits in other locations. You may have a manufacturing facility where high bay LEDs is going to be a great solution, but boy, they got some acid dip tanks or they got a Ford shop here. You can't put an LED there.
Sure.
You got to go with legacy kind of HID.
You can stuff. And people do, but you shouldn't.
Absolutely. I misspoke. You're correct.
Yeah.
But to have a distributor who has that diverse product offer.
Sure.
Who can maybe do some things that are more of a architectural high end for their office and conference rooms, but more of a generic industrial for warehousing and manufacturing spaces, who's got access to a variety of different control platforms based on needs. That's why throughout my career, it would be rare when I would go to even one of the larger distributors and say, you know, bring in a manufacturer rep and let's walk the site. Because what they're going to do is walk in with those blinders on. I can sell you this.
Yeah, we call it product agnosticism.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to work here because that's what I can sell you.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
That's called induction.
Yeah. Well, you're right. So so from that standpoint, that's...
If you're a hammer, everything's a nail.
Everything's a nail. Yeah. And that's why if you've got a distributor who's one of the independent distributors who's got a big line card.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you don't mind... I mean, obviously, you prefer to sell certain things for whatever reasons, but you don't mind integrating because you want to get the project done right, the right product for the right application. And sometimes that's, you know, timeliness. When, you know, what can I get when? Where can I get it from?
We had to change our principles. And when I say that, I mean our values.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to LED, if a contractor tried to go direct to a manufacturer, that would really offend us as a distributor.
Sure.
Okay. And so, but now I routinely get credit apps from customers, you know, putting in an application to XYZ manufacturer and literally listing us as a reference.
Yeah.
On the credit app. And I just tell us, you know what? It is what it is nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
When he calls, serve them. And if they're going to open them up, they're going to open them up.
Right.
That's it. That's the way, that's the nature of the business right now.
It is.
It's really a lot. There's really a lot of pressure towards that project based rebate business at the end of the thing here. People are pushing distributors out of the way. Distributors are pushing contractors out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturers are pushing both of them out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And coming right after the big projects, you know, so.
Yep. And we'll see that with big, you know, big projects, you know, they'll.
It really is a dog eat dog world.
It is. It is. And, you know, manufacturers, even though they're loyal to their distribution chain, they're loyal until, a Kmart or a Home Depot or somebody says, I want to do this, but I want to use your product, but I'm going to buy directly from you. Well, guess what, Mr. Distributor?
I heard we were friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And you might get a little piece because they want you to facilitate, you know, the local house for solar and stuff, but you're not going to get what you deserve and what you need.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's where, as all this morphs and all this pushing happens, it's one thing that we as the true professionals in this industry need to do is band together a little
bit. Yes, I agree with you on that.
It's going to filter out those who don't belong playing in our sandbox.
I think there's a problem with, I think there's a couple of things. We, Greg and I, have noted this, that there's a vacuum of leadership in this business. And that comes from the withdrawal of GE Phillips in Sylvania. And they are withdrawing their leadership voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what you have kind of, the IES doesn't really know, they're still being the IES.
Right.
They're still educating people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. People are saying, where's the IES and all this? And it's like, well, we never filled the shoes of Phillips GE in Sylvania before. You have the DLC getting sucked into that vacuum. And there's nobody out there that's really saying, look, this is how it's going to be. We agree on these form factors. We agree on that G8 is going to be this long with medium bi-pin sockets. No, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, where there's no agreement here.
Yeah.
And there's a vacuum of leadership. Do you feel NAMCO is getting sucked into that a little bit?
Well, I think we're getting sucked into it because of the periphery, all of those other aspects. There's sure. There's no regulation or legislation or anybody to back it. You know, there may be recommended practices, but yeah, they're recommended.
Sure.
Yeah. So we just have to go and try to educate people on what is the recommended practice? What is the best way to do it? And the best way is the way that the true professionals in the industry believe it should be done.
We got Steve Eppner waiting for us here.
Okay.
But I want to ask you a couple more questions.
Yep.
Because I think this is an interesting place here to kind of go. How do you feel about a post-rebate world?
You know, it's coming. It's got to be coming.
No, it's not.
Well, I mean, that was, you know,
don't say that.
You know, and that plays big on the ROI and the simple payback of a project. You know, it's one line item you can subtract from there. I know that many, many years ago, when the Focus on Energy program started to get developed in Wisconsin, there was a group of people in all different trades and energy saving technologies that were kind of a consortium that helped brainstorm it. And I was one of the people who was involved in the lighting aspect of it. And back then, everybody was, you know, rebates, and rebates were, you know, really driving the job. But folks on energy's opinion was, well, we want to kind of be that information source, that clearinghouse of knowledge, and not necessarily to have a list of preferred contractors or recommended product. But eventually, we want to stop just giving money away for this, because people should be doing it on their own because it's the right thing to do.
I know, but you know what? Users are so accustomed.
They are so accustomed because it's been around for so many years.
Yes.
And, you know, I run into it because I've done projects crossing multiple state lines.
Sure.
And if I look at Wisconsin compared to Minnesota, compared to Iowa, compared to areas in Illinois or Michigan, incentives and rebates are all over the place.
Sure. And it almost dictates sometimes what you're specifying too because of that.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, the structure of the rebate program dictates the how you specify
the project. One good thing, but I shouldn't say the one good thing. There's many good things with the advancements in solid state lighting and flexibility and diversity of control aspects and platforms. These projects can stand on their own without rebates.
Agreed. Especially with the pricing now.
Especially with the pricing the way it is. And if you play into it, you know, if you've got a customer who really recognizes that operational and maintenance cost avoidance. Now, you've got a legacy system now, and I'm dealing with a customer right now in the Milwaukee area who recognizes that. After you talk to them a little bit, they go, well, you know, right now you've got a system. As I walk through here, I can see a lot of outages. You're going to have to pay something in order to get this system up or operating. What's that cost you annually? Can you pull your records and find out how much you've been paying for lamps and ballasts?
There's nothing better than a customer that believes in that, by the way.
It's tough to get him to believe it, but it's, but you know what? It comes off of his operational budget.
Yeah.
And he's going, wow, I looked at this amount of money and I'm spending $5,000 a year. Well, that $5,000 a year was greater than what the incentive would have been.
Sure.
I mean, it's nice to fold those two together.
Problem is that the rebate is what's, is what the customer's belief is structured around.
Yeah.
They're saying, well, if Toronto Hydro is going to give me, you know, 40% of the project cost, it must be legit.
Yeah.
Right. But isn't the, everybody hears about maybe rebates are going to go away and all sort of stuff. Isn't that how you get rid of some of the smaller riffraff players in the business? Though, if those rebates go away, a lot of the uninformed competitors just smashing in LEDs wherever they can, they're going to go away with those rebates.
Well, because that's how they don't have any structure or backbone to sell the product, project. They don't have the relationship. They don't have the history. They don't have the knowledge. They can't go in and communicate with the customer the benefits of that system. You're just saying, I've got this that I can sell you for $10 and I got a $5 rebate.
Yeah.
So, wow. You know, why would you not buy it from me? Well, an intelligent consumer is not going to buy that way. And we're finding more and more, especially when you're dealing with larger companies. It used to be years ago, you were dealing with the head maintenance guy.
Yeah.
Well, or maybe the facility manager if you were lucky. But now most companies have a sustainability manager. They have somebody who's tasked with saving energy.
Sure.
They're tasked with cutting those operational costs. They're tasked with not putting so much stuff into that waste stream. When you're talking to those people, they're not so much concerned. Obviously, they need a good ROI, but they see the bigger picture. And I think that informed consumer works to our benefit, to all of our benefits.
Randy, thanks for coming on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me.
Keystone Technologies. Go to KEYSTONETECH.com. Oh, did everyone just delete the podcast from their thing after I did that, Greg? Holy mackerel.
Maybe. I'm still here.
Holy I think I almost deleted it. Go to KeystoneTech.com, Greg. I bet you somebody from Premier Lighting goes to KeystoneTech.com every day.
I would say so, whether they do an order or check out a product or a price or whatever it might be. It's probably likely. Maybe not on a Saturday or Sunday, but maybe.
But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How well has Keystone done as a vendor in Nailed? 5 years ago or whenever they came into Nailed, you never bought anything from them.
Yeah, now they're one of our number one suppliers. And so they've done that with a lot of Nailed members, and they've done really well for sure through the Nailed relationship. And some of their products, you know, we talk about a lot of their retrofit products today. We're talking about their high bays. They have a round high bay fixture. They also have a washdown high bay fixture, and they have a linear LED high bay fixture. So if you need an LED high bay, Keystone will probably have what you need. And they have multiple lumen packages, colors. And the best part we talked about before is that they all have a Keystone driver. So when, not if, when your LEDs burn out, when you need a driver, you know where you can get it.
You know what else Keystone has?
What's that?
They have Josh Brown, who's one of the best vendor sales reps in the industry.
He does pretty good. He does. You're right. We'll give him that.
Yeah.
I don't compliment him too much, but right here we will see if he listens to it.
Yeah. He's going to be emailing me. He listens to every show.
he better.
Hey, Josh, come on, you sucker. So go to KeystoneTech.com. Of course, KeystoneTech.com, baby. That's KeystoneTech.com. And of course, National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Big news coming out hot, Greggy. Nailed's making
We're
some
ready
moves.
For it.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
So
hopefully everyone else is.
You should be joining us because we got some serious goals. We are going to, right now, the rocket is on the launch pad, son. I'm sitting on the nose cone with Greggy. And this sucker is about to take off. And I'm not kidding you. This is not a promise. This is not a threat. This is just what's going to happen. And so Nailed is under new management. And the rocket is going to launch. And we invite you to join us. It's always better to get on the ground floor, son. So join Nailed. NAILD.org. That's the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. If you're a badass, if you're an independent dude, if you like to sell light bulbs your own way, if you don't like to be told what to do, except when you're listening to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, but you should join us. So go to NAILD.org, that's nail.org, or here's Greg's cell phone number. No, I'm just joking. Well, maybe we'll put it out there. But so check us out. And of course, thank you to Randy Bresky. What an honor it was to discuss with you. What a great association they have at NAMCO.
That's right. A lot of overlap with Nailed and NAMCO. It makes sense for us to get together and talk.
Always. Yeah, for sure. So thank you, Randy Bresky, for coming on the show and sharing your experiences with NAMCO. It was an honor for us to sit down, and thank you for taking the time. And of course, to the listeners, though you were nothing. So thank you for listening to this show. We really appreciate you, and hope to see you at a Nailed convention coming up soon. Stay tuned.
Written on the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all. You are lost, Lord is there to find you.